Hey everybody, Dr. Octave here. Before we start this Narboots episode, which is fantastic fun, I wanted to announce a couple shows we've got going on in Northern California in the next couple months. First of all, right away, if you're listening to this like on the double the day it comes out, we're going to be at First Friday in Oakland this Friday on July 3rd, and that's going to be at the 25th Street Stage, Telegraph Avenue, and 25th Street. From 8 p.m. to 9:15, it's a free show, it's going to be outdoors, and we're going to close out the Art Murmur. We'll also be really excited to play Freakfest NorCal. That's going to be September 11th to 12th at the Art Boutique in San Jose. This is the first Northern California event from our friends down at 8-Bit LA, and we're going to have a lot of fun playing with Astroskeleton, Boa Constrictor, Clover and Sea Life, Crash Faster, Curious Quail, Cyclops Rock, Everything Goes Cold, Grimecraft, Here Between You and Me, Kevin Nartina's Band, Paladin Shield, Petriform, and Slime Girls. And then, as if that wasn't enough, we're going to be playing a super special Halloween show Saturday, October 31st at 50 Mason's Social House in San Francisco. That's going to be with Elegant Trash and the Zombie Sex Idols. That's a 21 and over show. It's going to be $10. So whether we see you on First Friday, July 3rd, September 11th, the 12th in San Jose, or Halloween in San Francisco, we hope that you get more cartoon violence in your life this year and that you enjoy the hell out of this episode with our friends Narboots. And as always, you can follow us on Facebook at The Real Cartoon Violence, on Twitter at Cartoon Violins, and on the web at cartoonviolencemusic.com, where you can find links to all our music and our shows.
How long have you guys been doing this whole...
Three episodes.
Oh, really? So this will be our fourth? Yeah, I totally listened to them.
I would totally listen to them too.
I listened to them so many times I couldn't keep track.
The Bobby Joey Bola.
I really liked that. Was a lot of fun.
On Thursday, I listened to the Dr. Popular episode.
What do you think so far?
You sounded weird on the Dr. Popular episode because I think you were on maybe one
shitty
of these
mic.
Mics. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I got the shitty mic.
Is this sound like you were being Skyped in?
Okay. Like that's not that bad.
No.
I mean that's like
I've heard way worse.
Yeah.
Podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
And as long as your guests sound good.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of like our concern too. Yeah. Like,
that's why you guys have the really nice mics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got this SM57.
I'm blanking on who the first episode was, though.
It was Mike Ackman.
Oh, right.
Together We Are Robots. Yeah.
He misses San Francisco.
Yeah.
Aww. San Francisco
got to
misses
back.
Him.
I thought he lived in Canada all along. I didn't know he was here for a while.
He was here for school, and then he graduated, and Canada like is forcing him to go back for like a certain amount of years in order to remain a citizen or something crazy like that.
Yeah, you have to live there, I think, at least 2 years out of every five or something like that.
Yeah, to keep citizenship, but like that also means keep like universal health care and like all that good stuff.
So for episode four, we're just going to talk shit about all the
guests. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right. What don't you like about that lovable Canadian Mike Ackman?
Well, you see, first off, he's from fucking Canada.
Eh?
Yeah. That's bad enough.
Eating all that motherfucking poutine.
He's like a hoser, eh? He eats Kraft dinner, eh?
Watching Degrassi. None of you watch Degrassi?
No, I'm too cool for that, eh?
What's Degrassi?
Yeah, what's Degrassi?
I watch Strange
high school
Brew.
Drama.
Oh, is that
Canadian high school drama.
Take off, eh?
Yeah, no, you take off.
No, you take off, eh?
Why are you talking like
Strange
that?
Strange Brew was a movie.
Yeah, what is that slightly different accent? Yeah.
what's that about? I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, stupid Mike moving away from San Francisco to be Canadian.
So are we actually doing a podcast right now, or is this like a test?
It's
both. Blackmail.
Or are you like, are we going to be in test mode for 40 minutes and we're going to say really embarrassing things and then you're going to be like, okay, now we're going to start.
Yeah.
That's like the Nerdist method of podcasting where it's like the podcast just kind of like, oh, we're in a conversation now.
Yeah.
I think we kind of do that because we are recording the podcast.
Sure.
This is Cartoon Violence as a Podcast.
Yes.
Episode 4 with Narboots.
Hi.
GNARBOOTS.
Narboots.
How I'm really curious. How would you guys describe Narboots to somebody who's never heard them before?
I've been saying musical terrorism.
I like that description. Sure.
All right. I think it fits.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
You're held hostage by the show, but yeah. Not in a way where you feel that you're going to be shot while reading a manifesto.
Yeah.
I think forced participation performance art that describes works. Part of. Yeah. What you is
the forced participation performance art part,
right? Yeah, specifically.
Yeah,
but it's
you know what else?
What
we're a band.
Okay, now I personally think it's almost impossible to not have fun at a Narbooth show.
Oh, yeah. People try.
Yeah,
they do.
Man, I remember one show. It was at 8-Bit SF, and there was just this one guy with his arms folded who refused to dance in a sea of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you would not get out of his face until he finally got down.
Yeah, that was the one show that Adam wasn't at.
Two shows. There are two shows.
That was one of the two shows Adam had been doing. Yeah. Everybody at that whole show was having fun except that one guy.
just kind of forced him to have a good time.
He didn't have a good time though. He just became more adamant in his dislike of us the more I tried to like egg him on and just try to be like, "No, you dance," you know, and he just hated it more and more each song, but I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
You know, it just got the audience to all like point at him and all like kind of
peer pressure
him. And it, you know,
you bullied him.
Yeah. I guess you can call it bullying. I fun bullied him. What are you talking about?
You bullied him into dancing and having a good time.
It was for the greater good.
Yeah.
The greater fun was had.
See, Narbooth, we know you better than you know yourself, and we're looking out for you and your well-being. So you may think that you want to go to a club and just sit there and drink beer and, you know, just kind of bob your head, but we know better. We know what you really want to do, and that's to like start dancing and have a good time and just, you know, lose your mind and fall on the ground and, you know, do all the stuff that you're embarrassed to do. That's what we're...
Did Narbooth come out of Primal Scream Therapy?
Yeah, actually, yeah. How long have you guys been Narbooth, and were you guys like in another band together before this or anything like that?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Adam and I have... We were both... Were we in Flat Planet at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for a few shows. Yeah, a few shows. I mean, we're both from Gilroy. We both like have known each other for a long time.
All the way back. 1992 at Spartan Stadium in San Jose, Dinosaur Jr., The Cranes, and The Cure was playing, and I was with a group of friends, including my older brother and some of his friends, and I looked at this one guy and I was like, somebody punch that guy in the face, he's got a black eye. And it was a young Aaron
Cohen. Yeah, and it actually turned out to be a red eye. Okay, so people out there, kind of a purplish red. yeah. And so
that was like where the love affair started.
Sure.
So to speak,
that was the first memory I have.
I don't remember. Yeah, I know. I knew Adam for a while, and I can't remember when we became friends. But I was in the ska band called Flat Planet. It was a band I started, and shortly before I quit, Adam replaced our guitar player. So we played a few shows together and then I quit and then they kind of went on for a little bit. But then a little bit after that, we started a new band called The Fashion Police, and both of Adam and I were in that and some other guys. And that was kind of like a proto Narbooth band. It was like, had a similar attitude in terms of like, sort of, you know, like shocking the audience and sort of trying to create an experience that people weren't used to when seeing a band. But we were a band, like a 5 or 6 piece member band, and we were really into just doing really crazy stuff. And some of the songs that Narbooth does now originated from Fashion Police, like band versions of them, like some of our synth songs. And I think like Fashion Police was a little bit more antagonistic than Narbooth. I mean, like Narbooth is pretty in your face, but it's always like in a spirit, the spirit of fun. Fashion Police was a little bit less in the spirit of fun, a little bit more in the spirit of like, fuck you.
Little Tony Clifton.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, we really were kind of against the audience, I would say, in Fashion Police. You know, whether they, even if they were into us, I think like with Narbooth, we're totally for the audience. The only time we get against the audience is when they are fighting it, you know? And even there, it's always try to get them into it, you know? Like, it's always to try to get people to have fun. With Fashion Police, we were a little younger and a little bit more just like, you know, it was like our weird, like, you know, anti-audience, anti-band and stuff, but it definitely like was very similar in a sense to Narboots and the kind of what Narboots became.
So when did you guys turn the corner and become Narboots, and what, like, how did you even come up with the concept of Narboots, like as a word?
Well, the name came from Adam. Yeah. It's a skating term, right?
Yeah. It's like, I guess I had a drummer in a different band I was in who was this like total like skater surfer dude. And he would always say just really super random stuff. And one of the things he would always talk about was like, oh, you know, strap on your Narboots, we're getting crazy. And or he also would use it another way where he would be like, he would never wear shoes. He would always just walk around in like board shorts. He was like real thin and super tan. And so he would just like, we would be on tour and he'd be like walking around gas stations in just like board shorts. And like his feet were like just kind of caked with like, you know, the residue of whatever.
He'd stepped in.
Yeah, he had stepped in. And so it's like, yeah, I got my Narboots on. Just like walking around with his like gross, like black tar feet.
Now, I knew a guy that used to say Shroup the Nar. Like I'd heard that term growing up, but I'd never heard of Narboots.
You could see on the internet, it exists. I don't think it's that popular because, you know, you find us if you Google Narboots at this point, but you will find like the reference to the slang term Adam's talking about. Also,
if you go on like Instagram and you like look up like hashtag Narboots, it'll be like pictures of us like wigging out and then it'll be like skateboarders.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
That's not a bad thing to be associated with necessarily though. Maybe you guys should start playing like skate parks and stuff like that.
Yeah, or
by just force.
Or just places where people are bare feet. Yeah. So when Fashion Police ended in like what, 98, 99, mm-hmm. I mean, we played literally like 10 or 11 shows. It was like really short lived.
Yeah. It was maybe a dozen shows.
But you know, Adam went on to doing like Link 80 and Dessa, and I did a few bands and I stopped playing music for a while, but both of us, and I don't even think we talked about it much, both of us remember fondly the Fashion Police band. This really short band is just kind of like really fun, a really incredible experience. And I think like when Narboots happened, and it was like 2009, I don't even think we were thinking Fashion Police, but within like three shows, because our first show is Narboots, we were just a punk band. It was me, Adam, and Bob Vielma.
Yeah.
By like our third show, we were already pushing that Fashion Police influence in the band. You know, we were doing like some punk songs, then we would do like iPod songs, and we'd get all in the audience and just like really try to shock people. Like, you know, we would play like we had like we were doing these like stoner metal songs, and we had like wigs on. This is the first time.
We showed up to the show in these like stoner metal outfits.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, and like stayed in character all night. You know.
Yeah.
Even when we did like the techno stuff, we kept on the outfits, and we even kept them on, you know, till the show was over, and like.
We interacted with
everybody. I didn't take the wig off until I got back into the car.
Nice.
And that was actually like kind of the inspiration to grow my hair now. Cause, you know,
to look like you're in a stoner rock band.
Well, yeah, and actually the vest that I wear all the time now was the costume from that night. I had like an old jean jacket. I was like, oh, I'll turn this into like a Hesher vest. And you know, my wife like sewed like a back patch on it. All right, cool. And then it just sat in my closet for a couple of years after that. And then I was like, oh, wait, maybe I'll actually wear this thing. And I wear it all the time. I'm like turning into like this like character that I pretended to be like 4 years ago.
It's who you always were on the inside.
Yeah.
Now it's just manifesting itself physically like a butterfly that's been in a cocoon.
So we thought it'd be funny, like the idea of like, pretending to be a stoner metal band and play like 15 minutes of stoner metal songs and then just like leap off our instruments and just started singing techno songs. We were just like, how would people react to that? Like that would be the like least like that. You would never expect that to happen. And so Adam took like four or five Fashion Police songs and he made techno versions of them in order for us to do that. So that was the first time. And we liked it so much, so we started trying to incorporate that into our regular sets and stuff.
Just so you could be hands-on with the audience and just go crazy? Know.
Yeah, just I think the original idea was just like, wouldn't that be, like, how unexpected would that be if we just leapt off our instruments and started doing techno? It's like, you never expect like bands, like rock bands, to do that. Like it's just the, and then to, and then get in the audience and start singing, you know, like a completely different style of music. You're off the stage. You were on the stage before. So it was like,
just like throwing people a curveball.
Yeah. I think
seeing how they react and if they get into it. Or
yeah. It's cause it's like you, when you go watch bands, even bands that you like love the music for, you get a little used to and know what they're going to do. And you kind of tune out a little bit. You start looking at your phone, you kind of start talking to your friends. Even it's like, it could be like your favorite band and you're going to like, you're going to be
those moments of disassociation.
You're going to be present for a little while. Then you're going to kind of not be present. So I think that it was that idea of like, well, what can you do to an audience to like shock them into being present?
And I think another thing we wanted to try to do is try to make it so that any, every time somebody comes and sees us play, so like say we played like 3 times in 1 month, which that would never happen, but let's say we did that, like I would want somebody to be able to go to every single show and for it to be a completely different show, where like, you know, we don't even seem like the same band. Like we were like figuring out like different versions of the same songs, or like just, you know, weird things that we could do, or just things we could do that were like kind of antagonistic and just funny to us, or that would only be funny to one person, like one specific person who was going to be at the show.
Yeah, there's quite a few inside jokes. You guys love to give shout outs to Mr. Finale and Mike Park, I've noticed.
Asian Man Records.
Yeah.
Making a few of your songs. But yeah, I, you know, that's actually the vibe that I usually get at an Narboot show, is that it's an inside joke, but it's an open invitation. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense at all. Like, yeah, we're all laughing at something that you don't know about, but all you got to do is join the party and then you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your first Narboot's dance party is like an initiation ritual.
You're either with it or you aren't.
Yeah. You're either with us or you're against us.
Yeah. But we're all Narboots essentially, right?
Yeah. I feel like most people respond really well to the dance party. I think even when like other stuff isn't going over as well, I feel like the dance party usually brings people in. And I think it's because like all the attention in a way is off of everybody. Like there's a certain amount of like when we're singing at people, people feel like attention's directed at them, or like we could come up to them and like make them do something or make everybody look at them. But once the dance party starts, like everybody feels like nobody's looking at them. They're just like, they're in a dance party. And it's like, you wouldn't expect like a rock audience or whatever to just allow themselves to start dancing. But most people seem to do it, you know, even like first timers, they just seem to do it.
It helps when the robot comes out with the disco lights.
Yeah. Where did the you guys have a colored parachute with like beach balls that you'll bring out in the middle of a show and like get that, like you'll have people like holding the parachute and like doing it. It reminds me of something I would do in like middle school. Like
kindergarten.
As like an outdoor activity. Like how did you, I mean, like, you know, I guess in general, even like you guys kind of have like all this unique and interesting stuff that you just, there's no way to expect it. So like where do those ideas come from and how do they manifest? Like, I guess the parachute is just one example, I guess.
I just really like the idea of just taking whatever, just look around your apartment. I mean, there's so much stuff crammed into this like little tiny space. And like, I feel like I'm the type of person that just accumulates like stuff that ends up getting involved in Narboots. And like, that's also just a way of like, cause we're super destructive. So like nothing lasts very long. Like that colorful parachute is gone. Like we have a totally different parachute.
One that's like twice as big, but yeah.
Well, it's like 5 times. It's like an actual parachute, and there's actually like things that I need to cut out of it to make bigger, but so like I would just end up with like random stuff from like cleaning out like, you know, a closet at somebody's house or something, and just be like, oh, there's all these beach balls in here, okay, I guess I'll take these. And then, you know, the fact that we even end up back with them at the end of the night usually is like super surprising to me. because I usually just expect to like take all this stuff to the show and just have it all get thrashed and just leave it there.
Yeah, do you just expect people to take it with them?
So I mean, sometimes I mean, and you know, sometimes it that happens and it's not expected and it kind of sucks. Like all the cat masks are gone, which is kind of cool, but like, you know, when you don't see them, like I'm hoping that like we would take all these masks to shows and then people would take them home, but then like take them to the show the next time they see us, or like stick it on somebody else's head. Like, I don't know, just like
they kind of pass the torch around.
And, yeah.
Like, you know, have an initiation rite or ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And totems.
Yeah. And totems. I don't know. I think it's nice to be able to like leave from a show and like have like a plastic heart, like a human heart. Oh, how did I end up with this?
Yeah. I know, as a music fan, anytime you manage to like catch something thrown from the stage, whether it's a pick or,
yeah,
you know, a drumstick, or I even got a pixie stick thrown at me once from the stage. You know, you keep those things, they're mementos of the fun time you had at the show.
Yeah, I think...
Oh, sorry, but I had a smiley face bouncy ball land in my pocket that was thrown by Mark Mothersbaugh at a Devo concert.
My people tell the same story.
Oh, yeah. Did that happen to you?
Yeah, I got one of the bouncy smiley face balls from Devo.
Nice. In your pocket? It just landed
in
your
pocket? Oh, no.
No. Yeah.
That's, no, he went to your house and got it.
That's the Lord Mark Mothersbaugh favoring me over you. Remember that.
I had to exert effort to receive the chosen mother's ball.
Back to Narboots. Man, so what about like your, like some of your songs are kind of scary, you know, like when you have the audience like sit down and you kind of have like your nap time moment and you, like there's usually someone dressed up as death and it's a little creepy.
Well, I think it's because, I mean, we, you know, okay, so going back a little bit, like we started as a punk band and we wrote all the songs. We decided to like become a band on like a Monday. We wrote the songs on a Tuesday. We recorded the songs on a Wednesday. And then like maybe 2 weeks later, we played our first show. And it was all
punk band.
None of it was planned. And then, so we had some of these songs that we just kind of cobbled together really quickly. And they were kind of silly. And then we started taking the Fashion Police songs and putting those on. But some of those came off as kind of silly too, even though the intention isn't really to be silly. And then, so with Dark Moon, the last thing that we put out, we were trying to make something where it would still kind of stand with the previous incarnations of the band, but be something that hopefully you could put on and listen to once you got home, instead of it just being like wacky, wacky, like, you know, maybe something that had a little bit deeper emotion. And I gravitate towards, you know, darker shit anyway. So
it's theatrical. I think like our show is like, essentially it's theatrical. It's spontaneous and theatrical, but the music, I feel like actually on Dark Moon, the last one, is more theatrical. And I think that's more fitting, actually, and more fitting to what we naturally would do and what we're like inclined to do at the show, which is bring like a certain, it's not really like we're not being silly per se. It's more, we're just being spontaneous and theatrical. And so that music, I think, is fitting, actually. And that's why it actually brings more elements, like, you know, like, yeah, like the kind of the scary bedtime thing, because people don't really know what to expect song to song. It's like we might come off silly one song and then we do the bedtime thing and it's kind of is it supposed to be scary? Is it supposed to be funny? I don't think people really know. And I think it's like, if we do that song really well, I think it comes off like an uncomfortable laughter. Like they're not really sure what we're going for, you know?
Yeah. I think the first time I saw you guys, like, I didn't really understand what was going on, like, at all. And I was a little scared. It was a little creepy. But
the first
then,
time,
like,
I saw you, your head was getting shaved.
Yeah. that was the first rockage.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like the first time I saw you guys. But then, like, the more I like saw you guys perform and the more I hung out, like the more like I kind of like clicked for me, if that makes any sense
mm-hmm.
at all. Like I kind of was like, okay, I get what's going on, what's going on here now, and it's really cool. Like, there's not, I mean, I can't really think of another act that I've seen, like, kind of doing the stuff that you guys do, and it's really interesting. Like, I try to never miss a show now.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah, because you're in the band.
Yeah, it helps when we have play with you guys to never miss a show.
Yeah, I think I've jammed with you guys a few times. I played at the Gilman with you guys on bass.
Mm-hmm.
I dressed up as a creepy clown at Leo's, which was super fun. I scared some girls in the audience, like, because I was just going around and, like, hugging random people.
Right.
And stuff like that. And some folks were not into it at all.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about that show was just kind of looking around the room while we were performing and just realizing that, like, I mean, it was, like, a packed show.
Yeah.
It was a sold-out show. And we completely annihilated the audience. Like, we took everybody's idea of what was going to happen that night. Like, there's going to be a band up here on the stage, the audience is going to stand down here, and it got ripped to shreds.
Like the band, I think at one point I was on stage dry humping you in a creepy clown outfit, Aaron.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah, it was really emotional. But yeah, that show was, like, super, super fun. And it was, like, funny, too, because, like, the band before you guys was kind of, like, a soft college rock sort of band.
Like, they were, like, Cracker. Serious and real, like, earnest. And, like, they had some really good songs.
Yeah.
And then, like, everybody was pumped to see the matches.
Yeah, they're more of, like, a pop punk.
They're, like, a pop punk band that got pretty huge at one point. And I've been really good friends with all those matches guys for forever. So they loved the idea of bringing in something that was just going to, like, throw everybody's expectations out the window.
Nice.
Yeah, my favorite Narboots experience was the Star Wars Day show at the Art Boutique, where Prof was also in the scary clown mask, and I was Jar Jar.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first put the mask on, I was doing it in the back of the room, and I was walking towards the stage, and the first thing I did was knock over a chair. And I just naturally fell into the Jar Jar walk and recovered from it in character and held my hands up and shook my head. And, oh, Mies is so clumsy. And then on the stage, I forget what song it was for, but something where I was feeling it. And I was giving a pole dance on the microphone stand with a Jar Jar mask on. And that felt like a special experience.
Yeah.
I hope it was special for the audience.
I think it was. I mean, just think about it. Like, if somebody came to that show, like, to see the band after us, and their takeaway was just watching this, you know, probably, like, 5-minute Jar Jar pole dance, you know, that's what's going to stick with them, not seeing their friend's band. Like, they're going to be
smart. Not seeing Cartoon Violence, who was also playing that night.
Maybe they showed up late. I watched you guys whole set that night.
Oh, that was fun. That was with Matt Payne drumming for us.
Yeah, was that the Matt Payne show?
That was Matt Payne. That was Danelle's first show with us.
Oh, man.
That was, Keiko sang...
The Beefy Stews with us.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a good show. That was fun. I love those Star Wars shows. Did you guys play any of the Star Wars shows?
Were you dressed up like Trekkies?
We played three of them.
You played the one
We played two. We played the Art Boutique one and then the one before that
at the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Yeah,
where you guys were.
That was the parachute. Guys... And, you read from the A to Z Star Wars storybook.
Which I still read to my son.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
I'm telling you, it's like sometimes going to an Narboot show is like scary daycare.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing, too, is like we did a show once, like right when we came up with the Cats in Pajamas idea. And we just kept playing Cats in Pajamas over and over again
for the whole set.
But then the other songs were just nursery rhymes, we would stand like holding each other's hands and sing them like really, really high pitched, and that was really fun. And I remember Mike Park's kids were there, and it was like it was a pajama party too.
Yeah, that was the thing at the Matsuri House, right?
Yeah. The Texas Toast.
Yeah.
So
like, you guys ran a Montessori kids were there,
and they were like dancing and like being crazy, and then they would just like start like stop and just be like, wait, like what's going on? And the best part was like we kind of didn't know what was going on because we don't practice, and so we just come up with these ideas and say, you know, oh let's try this, and so we just came up with this idea of like, what if we just kept playing Cats in Pajamas and just kept playing like little kid songs with like tons of reverb on the microphones and didn't take our cat masks off the whole time. And it became like super uncomfortable for us and super uncomfortable for the audience. And that, I think those are the exciting moments for me, like when the shit goes wrong.
It gets awkward and it doesn't getting awkward.
It like it really throws me because like you know, I've played music for both have played music for a really long time now, and you can get really in that lockstep of just like boom, 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 and you know, even if you know something kind of goes wrong, you just recover. But like we push things so far out of bounds that it'll get real, real gnarly. Like, do you remember in Stockton when that guy came out on stage?
Oh, the janitor? Was he? I don't know if he was a janitor.
The quote unquote janitor at the Plea for Peace Center. Like at the end of our, like towards the end of our set, somehow ended up with both of our microphones and was just screaming something. And we just bailed. Like we were just like, show's done. He was really, really intense. Yeah. And maybe he was homeless. I don't know.
Who knows?
He had some stuff to say.
He just was way more intense than we were. We were just like, we're out.
So you like bowed to him. You're like, all right, you win.
That was like one of my favorite moments, like because it was just like it, like really.
Somebody kind of called your bluff a little bit.
A little bit, and they did it in a, like a non. It wasn't like confrontational. It wasn't like they were gonna like beat our ass or, you know, do some dumb shit. It was just like.
It was like somebody who like wanted the platform, but nobody would give them the platform besides us.
Yeah.
This is their moment.
Yeah, we used to. What was that? What's that coffee shop in Oakland we used to play at?
Oh, it's called the Telegraph now, but it was Mama Buzz back in the day.
Ooh, yeah, I played there with my old band a few times. Yes, and did some solo stuff as well.
Yeah, so
we played there 3 or 4 times, and every single time, like street people would wander in, and we would just like let them play.
Yeah, we'd let them play. We'd give them microphones, and you know,
and it would completely like train wreck the set. But we didn't care. We're just like, this is way better than what we
did. Man, that, I mean, yeah, but I mean, who cares about playing at Mama Buzz in a lot of ways, you know?
And also like one of our big things early on was, let's get banned from like everywhere. Let's just like do things that are either going to be so boring or so repetitive or so obnoxious that no one's going to want to look at us ever again. And it never worked. Like until like later on when people like when we started like wigging out harder and people were like, oh, you guys are going to like break something.
So how many places have banned you now officially?
A handful, but most of the ones that banned us,
we could go back there and play. Like
they don't, yeah. It's not like they have a book. Band.
Your photo's not on the wall.
Yeah. Members and all these places end up with like turnover.
Yeah,
we didn't do anything like so bad.
Has there ever like been a time where you've been like in the middle of something and you thought, man, I'm really pushing this farther than I should, but like kept going, or did you pull back?
Or I don't really think so. I mean, I think like. Like the thing is, we don't actually break anything unless it's something of ours. I think what gets clubs uncomfortable is the fact that they think we could or would, but like as much as we push things, it's like we never actually do any damage. So I don't ever feel like we've gotten to that place where I'm like in my mind going like, this is way too far. I mean, I know we're going farther than people are comfortable with, but not like I don't feel like we're ever crossing a line that I'm uncomfortable with. Nice. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a line, but I just think our line is probably like way further out than a lot of people's.
Are there musicians or performers or comics that have influenced some of your style in interacting with the audience in that way, or does it just come from your own desire to do something different?
I mean, I'll usually hear something that another band, like an idea, like, oh, this band did this crazy thing, and I don't even know if it's true or not, but then I'll be like, oh, let's do something along those lines.
Yeah.
I mean, like I there's a band called Crash Worship who I've never actually listened to, but like I used to love reading articles about them because it just sounded like the most absolutely chaotic show you could have, with just like people like in the audience with drums, like falling off the stage and like climbing back on the stage and just like, no real break in the set, just like, you know, 45 minutes of just like white hot noise, and like ideas like that are really exciting to me, where it's just like everything's like chaotic and But at the same time, like, never fucking listen to Crash Worship. I probably should.
You just like the idea. The idea is enough to inspire you.
It's like you guys show up to like a upper class ladies like luncheon and start partying, and she's like, "Oh, I say," and then like someone throws her in the pool, and she loosens up, and everyone starts having a good time.
Is that an 80s movie?
Probably 12 at least.
Well, I mean, we like bands like Resonance or Flaming Lips or Wallpaper that are bring an element of theater to their set. I mean, I don't know that other than the fact that we're like just generally attracted to that sort of thing, I don't know that we're so directly influenced by them, just more like the spirit of that. Like, if on one side of the spectrum you have bands that get up and just play their instruments and don't speak between songs and just like run through their set, and the other end of the spectrum you have bands that are thinking more theatrical terms, I mean, like we definitely would try to fashion ourselves in that side of the spectrum, you know. But I think one of the elements I think we're kind of different then is that we always have like an element of chaos, no matter like how much, like we'll have ideas that are really well planned out, but we don't like practice the ideas. We just discuss the ideas and kind of set it up and then see how it goes, and then change it.
Early on is I didn't want to do like skits. Like, I didn't want it to be like, well, here's our lines and okay, now we're gonna do this thing.
Yeah,
like, because I wanted it to stay loose and chaotic and real, and I wanted us to like remain in the moment.
So I mean, but there's kind of like, there's things that you do at most shows still, right? But it's not like you're necessarily saying the same lines or whatever, right?
I mean, yeah, we've definitely fallen into sort of a rut based on like lack of time or planning, maybe, or what we found has like worked in the past, or like, you know, what we want to try to push again. But like
the stuff still does come out differently each time. Even like, you know, we have like the dance party and the parachute usually comes out and the props and, you know, but it's still kind of, it comes out depending on how people react.
Yeah. A lot of things you do, they coexist with the audience reaction to them.
Yeah.
Right. They're co-authors of the thing, because how they react to what you're putting in front of them dictates what the experience is going to be like.
Right. Yeah.
And if people pick up the parachute and get underneath it and dance, or if they just let it drop to the floor, those are two totally different shows with the same gimmick. Right.
Yeah, and I mean, that was also kind of the funny thing when we had the smaller parachute, was that, like, it was really hard to get people to hold it up, which becomes funny in and of itself, and is fun for us, like, because we're like, no, really, like, grabbing people's hands and making them hold it, and they're, like, trying to drink their beer, and we're like, no, set your beer down, okay, now grab it, like, just doing all this stupid stuff where it's just, like, trying to push a button and, like, antagonize somebody into either, like, I don't know, telling us to fuck off or like leaving the room. I don't know. That's funny to me.
So, like, what's next for you guys? Kind of. I know it's kind of a generic question, but like, are you guys working on new material? Do you have new ideas that you want to like implement into your live shows or anything like that?
Nope. We've been pretty low key lately. I mean, we have a bunch of ideas, but it's just a matter of finding the time to implement them.
I think like we want to wait until we have time to create some new ideas before we really go do stuff. Like, we're probably not going to play live for a while unless there's like a certain show we want to play, or unless we feel like we have some new stuff.
Yeah, I feel like we need to generate new content.
Yeah, but we're not in any rush to play otherwise.
The video that you opened your last Rockage performance with. Uh-huh. That's new, right?
We stole that.
Oh, you stole that?
Yeah, okay. Boing Boing posted that like years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I just edited out like two or three things and set it to that awesome
Carmina Burana.
Yeah, yeah.
That certainly set a mood.
Totally.
Especially that's at a video game show.
I wanted this thing where it felt like, okay, we're all going to go drink the punch and lay down with our Nikes on and put the purple cloths over our face. Like, I wanted it to feel like this is the end and, you know, goodbye.
it worked.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, again, like, I mean, that's like, and I like, you know, you end up like just taking everything and filtering it through your own self. I mean, that's it's basically the same as the Flaming Lips intro from like around like when they were doing Yoshimi. Like they had like a different like huge epic like classical song, and then like this kind of like countdown to like, this is, today is the first day of your life, like this big moment. And so like I was like, ah, am I ripping them off? But it was like, whatever, that was forever ago, and yeah, this is for one show.
And it's like, it's kind of not just them, there's many bands that do that, use multimedia as propaganda to get you all riled up,
yeah,
for the show, right?
Yeah.
Daft Punk does that kind of thing in their show.
I think the thing I've always wanted to do is get a giant piece of white paper and some pyrotechnics and have like an announcer be like, ladies and gentlemen, cartoon violence, and then everybody dance now starts playing and we like break through the paper and like the pyrotechnics like explode and then like we just dance around the stage for a minute.
I like the idea of that going like super wrong.
Yeah, like kids get too. Burned the, their like, eyes out. The paper, yeah. Clothing goes on fire.
Down and everybody yeah. dies.
The paper just lights on fire.
We're gonna white snake it.
Everybody dies. Wouldn't that be funny?
Wouldn't that be funny if everybody just died
at our show? Yeah, we burned them alive.
Hey, we'd have a Wikipedia page then.
Yeah, it's hard to get one of those, huh?
Yeah, well, you can't make it yourself.
Nope.
You gotta have like original sources to cite, then you have to be culturally relevant.
We had a Wikipedia page for like what, half a day?
Half a day.
Like Adam posted on Narboots to like to get everybody to make our Wikipedia page for us.
Yeah.
And they just like posted a bunch of stupid shit, you know, and it just went up and went down.
No, I think what I did though is I took like one of my old band's Wikipedia entries and I just like copied it and just cut out the information and replaced it with Narboots information. So it was like exactly the same thing that's on like another like legitimate, quote unquote, legitimate Wikipedia page. And they were like, no, you can't, you guys aren't real. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah, it's Wikipedia's got its own sort of weird self-aware Borg rules going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever, it's the internet. Nothing on the internet's true.
No.
You can't trust the internet. You used to be able to.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah, no, Eternal September.
Man.
So,
Shall
we?
It's that time. It's that time.
Already?
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you guys like to freestyle a top five list theme song?
Free?
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, it's time for the top five list.
Wait, but I'm going to flip it on you guys right now. You guys ready for
this? Flipping it?
Okay, I used to have a podcast here in Oakland.
Okay.
I had two apartments in Oakland. This apartment is like the midpoint between those two apartments. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, now you know it. So I had a podcast called Break This City for a second.
Oh, we made the theme song to Break the City. Narboots did.
Yep. And then as soon as we did that, never did another episode of Break This City. So we used to play a game on Break This City called Real or Fake. So in my hand, I have a list of 10 band names.
Okay.
And five of them are real, and five of them are fake.
Whoa.
So, you want to play, Aaron? You can play, too.
We just all got right. We just
you
got
might have a
game
small
flipped.
Advantage, though. So, five of these are bands that I've played with. Some of them with Narboots, some of them with other bands. Five of them are band names that are completely made up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So ready.
Alcoholic Vortex.
How do we score this
we
game?
Just,
do we all just answer?
I think we all just guess. And then
everybody just have a guess.
Made up.
I'm gonna go with fake.
Yeah, fake.
Correct. Okay, we're off to a good start. Okay, Chachi, Boba Fett, and the Wookiee.
They're real. We played with them.
Yeah. Real.
Yep.
Yeah.
They are. What are they called now?
Aloha Screwdriver.
Yep.
We just played with them like
this
last
Star Wars
month.
Day.
Yep.
Yeah. That was.
All right. We cheated.
Good job.
What?
Good job. See?
Two for two. Bring it.
All right.
Barnyard of Colossal Risk.
Ooh, my heart wants it to be real, but my head says it's fake. I'm gonna go with fake.
Victor?
I'll take true, even though I want to say that my heart and my brain are disagreeing on this.
I'm gonna go true on that.
It's fake.
Oh.
Whoa.
All right, I'm you really dared to dream. This.
Okay, Snoopy Galore.
Guys. I'm going to say fake, but it's going to turn out to be real.
I'm going to go with real because I really, really want it to be real.
Real.
It's a really good name.
Real, and I played with him twice.
You played in Snoopy. What kind of a band was Snoopy Galore?
They're a shitty punk band.
I like that name a lot.
They played at the Cactus Club in San Jose.
Just once?
Yeah. Tree Fort.
Oh, man.
No.
I'm gonna go. How many reels have there been now?
You can't count the deck.
Yeah, get out of this casino, stupid robot.
Come on, just go with your gut.
In this casino.
Go with your gut.
I'm gonna go with fake.
That's real.
It's real.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not doing so well.
Busy Zero.
I'm gonna go with fake. No dead air. Come on.
Okay, fake.
Fake.
It's fake. That's a good
name. There we go.
It's a lot of Z's. I like that.
Compassion in Action.
Fake.
I'm saying real.
Real, and I played guitar in that band for a while.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh, man.
Satan Riders.
That's too obvious. It's fake.
Fake.
I think it's real, actually.
Real, we played them in Stockton.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Riders is spelled W-R-I-D-E-R-S.
Oh, see, if you would have
explained
that to them.
Yeah, past cast.
That's probably real.
I'll go fake.
Fake.
Fake. Totally fake. And Midnight Principle.
Oh, yeah, I played with them.
Fake.
Guards.
Real?
Fake.
Oh.
Fake.
I should have counted the deck.
That's it. Yep. Okay, now we're gonna now we can move on to yours.
Now we can do our stupid dumb game. All right. So this week was kind of special because we're doing two top five lists. Because Victor wouldn't just let me have my top five sandwiches list. Had to make something music related. I'm sorry, Dr. Octave wouldn't let me have.
Thank you.
My.
I'm sorry, code names. I'm sorry. I used top five your sandwiches. Real name.
It's all right. It's okay. It's been leaked. Now, I've been doxxed.
Yeah. Yep.
We're not very good at hiding our alternate identities. Probably better than Superman. Because that guy just put on a pair of glasses. Like, looks like a costume to me.
Yeah. I have a wig and glasses. That's a real costume.
Got robot armor.
That's a wig?
Well, not
what do you
on
have
right
under
now.
That? Like, you have that full head
lizard
of hair?
Skin. Mostly.
Okay, so which list are we doing first? Are we doing sandwiches?
Let's flip a sandwich.
So the way it works is... We each do our number fives, and then we all do our number fours, threes, twos.
Do you want to combine the lists and do five and five and four?
Yeah,
and four?
Absolutely. Okay. It'll move things along.
All right.
And then this week, so if you have something on your list that somebody else has on their list,
you have to cut yourself.
Yeah, you have to cut yourself.
You can just replace it, right?
Well, if you've got a replacement, but somebody gets to win that. So today we're just going to think of numbers. So someone's going to think of a number, and then you have to guess what that number is. The closest, without going over, Price is Right
rules. Price is Right rules, always.
Yes. So there we go. All right. So.
And if everybody goes over, then it's just the closest. Why be that much of a stick?
Yeah, no, we screw that. So, Aaron, why don't we start with you? What's your what is your number five experimental band and sandwich?
Okay, so... I googled experimental band on Google just to
you have no original thoughts.
No, just to seeing what it said, and you know what, Deftones came up, so I'm taking it.
Okay.
Google said.
If Google says that the Deftones are experimental,
sure.
It's they know we
and,
don't.
And sandwich.
Let's go with I'm gonna say a hamburger.
Just a hamburger.
Hamburger.
Just a regular old hamburger.
Yeah. Number five, hamburger.
Okay, right. Uncontested.
Yep. All right.
Adam?
My number five band is the Octopus Project.
Ooh, I like those guys a lot.
I saw them at the Cactus Club when I lived at 23rd and Martin Luther King. And I asked at the end of the night who paid to get in, and I was the only person that paid to get in.
Really?
There were three people in the audience, and the other two people were on the guest list.
That's crazy.
It made me feel really special because they set up a shit ton of gear to play their show.
Yeah.
Like a theremin and two drum sets and tables full of bloops and bleeps.
They have one song in particular I really like that I haven't listened to in years. But I saw them at the Great American, and randomly this guy I went to high school with was in the band opening for them.
Crazy.
And so a bunch of my high school friends were there, like, that I didn't want to see.
Nice.
And
that's fun.
Yeah. But apparently I was doing better than all of them. So
yeah.
That was a good feeling.
And for sandwich, the turkey and cranberry sandwich at Specialties.
Nice, very specific. I like that. My sandwiches go from specific to...
Oh, mine do too, don't worry.
Yeah. All right, let's see. For my number five band, I think I'll go with Negative Land.
Oh, nice choice. Nice.
Bravo,
local. Conquered Local Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And for my number five sandwich, let's do... I'll keep it local as well. I'll do the Max's Opera Cafe Reuben.
Mm. All right. Look at that. No one's
No overlaps.
All right. My number five is Syd Barrett.
All right.
That's a good band.
Well, it's a guy, but, you know, he was in Pink Floyd, and then he kind of never came down from the acid trip, and, like, he did a bunch of weird experimental music after that. And my sandwich is like a nice French dip.
Classy.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while.
It's a little au jus.
Au jus. Do you drink that?
Afterwards? You finish the sandwich and you still have the shot?
No, I'm not now, but maybe next time.
At some
time.
Point in your life, you have, probably.
You dip your fries
Come
in
on.
It?
I do dip my fries in it.
Yeah.
But the next time I get a French dip, I'm gonna take a shot of au jus at the end of
you
it.
You should.
Because that animal blood is good for you.
Yep. My son, the other day, I was asking him what he wanted to eat for dinner. And he was like... saying all this stuff, and then he was like, I want to eat blood for dinner.
That is so brutal and so true. Can Nardboots write a song called I want blood for dinner?
Probably.
All right, Aaron, what is your number four experimental band?
I'm gonna go with Man.
Are they experimental?
Blank.
Wikipedia says they are.
They I feel like, yeah, they're kind of on the line of being like experimental. So, close enough.
Look at this. If there's no overlaps on this list, I'm going to be...
That'd be amazing. There will be. I think we probably have the same number one.
Yeah.
What about your sandwich?
I'm going to go with a torta.
Ooh. What kind of torta? Let's be specific.
I knew you were going to say torta.
What kind of meat?
My favorite torta is the Milanesa torta.
Milanesa?
That's the thin steak?
It's like a breaded steak, yeah.
See, I can't back tortas, though, because I feel like if you can get a torta, you can get a burrito. So why would I ever choose a torta over
bread? Do you like more bread?
Yeah, I just want more bread. I just want to feel like...
A good torta, though, it has its time and place. Sometimes you...
They got that crema on it. They don't put that shit on sandwiches.
The Cubano torta is very hard to find in burrito form. Like, that's a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and same with the Milanesa. Like,
fine.
You know.
Every once in a while, a nice torta. What's wrong with a nice torta?
I just feel like if I was hungry and I was at a place where I could get a torta... If I would want a burrito, and then if I didn't want a burrito, I would want tacos, and if I didn't want tacos, I'd be dead.
I think it's interesting. The torta is like the Mexican hand food that doesn't use all the same ingredients as the other ones, like tacos, tostadas, burritos. Yeah. It's all pretty much the same stuff. Like different tortas variations. Are special,
yeah.
Somehow.
Okay.
Nice pick. I'm gonna back air.
I knew you were gonna say torta, Carnes.
Damn! I told Adam to go to this torta restaurant in Gilroy. And he just slammed it. He was just like, boo.
Well, it was fine. This is like, it was the same thing where it's like, yeah, it was fine. It was good, but like, I could have had a burrito.
Yeah.
Had a burrito. I could have had a burrito. On the shirt.
Yeah. That's our new slogan.
I could have had a burrito instead of the Nerdists enjoy your burrito.
Yeah. Let's I could have had a burrito instead. I listened to Garden Violence had a podcast.
All right. What is your number for experimental band and sandwich?
I picked, I don't really listen to them anymore, but Shoo Shoo.
I've never heard of this.
Nice.
I used to be roommates with the singer, and I called him out recently when he was doing press for his new album. He said he was 35 years old, which is younger than me, and he's well into his 40s. And I put, 35? You fucking liar. And I got banned.
Oh. Truth hurts.
Yeah. He's just trying to stay young and relevant.
He
but 35 is over target demographic age anyway, so.
I mean, I think that's as young as he was feeling like he could probably lie, because I mean, he was in the Indestructible Beat of Palo Alto, and he was in 10 in the Swear Jar, and he was in bands before that. So it's like, you know, if you keep lying about your age, at a certain point you were like 3 years old when you were in your first band, dude. So stop.
Yeah, preschool rock.
Preschool rock. And then number four sandwich, the breakfast burger at Rudy's. That's different than just a hamburger because it has an egg.
I stopped going to Rudy's I can't handle it. They like jacked the prices.
They doubled their prices.
And then they jacked the prices again. And I'm like, I can't justify eating.
No, which one? Are you talking about both of them? The Emeryville one?
I haven't been to the Emeryville one in a long ass time. But like the downtown Oakland one was so close. I used to go there all the time, at least once a week.
Yeah.
And like for the last 2 or 3 months, like I have not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rude and Reckless is good, but it ain't worth $14.50.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's like crazy jacked up prices. But I miss going to Rudy's. I don't feel like Green Day is hard up for money, so I don't know why they're jacking the prices up. At any rate.
Well, real estate being what it is and the minimum wage being a thing.
Yeah, I like that all your sandwiches have, like, restaurants associated with them.
They don't all, but just those two.
But I enjoy it.
They must. Mine do. Actually, no, my next one doesn't. My next one is...
Ban first,
we'll have
please.
To wait. Okay, yeah. Fine. Number four, the frogs.
Oh, good choice. Yeah.
Bravo.
April Fool.
The only problem I have with the frogs is that the Smashing Pumpkins cite them as a heavy influence. And I'm not a big Smashing Pumpkins fan. That's my one problem.
The Smashing Pumpkins were bound to have some influence.
Yeah, but honestly, if it wasn't really for the Smashing Pumpkins, I probably wouldn't have known who the frogs were at a young age.
Yeah, my first hint that they were influencing other people was Beck.
Okay.
That was a good drum break as a frog sample.
Oh, okay. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. I managed to see them once, and it was an experience. There were angel wings involved and, you know, fun stuff. Nice. My number four sandwich, I'm going to throw this out there, hoping that if somebody else has already done this, tweet at me. The leftover grilled pizza sandwich, which is where you take two pieces of leftover pizza, you cut the crust off, you put them together face to face, and you butter both sides. And you grill it like a grilled cheese sandwich.
Ooh. That is some serious stoner shit right there.
You should
put some macaroni and cheese in the middle of that.
Yeah,
I really go for it. Or a hamburger patty.
Well, like, the trick is there's got to be enough cheese touching cheese for it to actually cohere and melt into.
Cheese on cheese action.
Yeah, the two slices should hug with their cheese.
I'm also a big fan of cold pizza, so I don't know if I'd ever do that.
I am too, but... You know, there's some pizza that just doesn't taste right cold, and that would be a good candidate for the leftover grilled pizza sandwich.
Nice. I'm into it, though. I like the idea. I'm pro that. So I guess it's my turn then, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my number four experimental band is Melt Banana. Japanese noise punk metal band that is very screamy and loud bangy. And it's adorable because when you see them live, it's like... mostly these tiny Japanese women, and then they say thank you after every song, after just like screaming and like being like hyper crazy primal. Have you guys heard of Melt Banana?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Do you see them?
Just marveling that we haven't had any overlap yet.
Yeah.
I guess there are a lot more experimental bands out there than previously imagined.
And there's a lot of sandwiches too. Uh-huh. I'm surprised at the sandwiches.
Well, let's see. I bet someone is gonna have a nice friggin' Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, I was gonna. Yeah.
Oh.
That was my number three.
Oh man. All right.
So you guys got a battle. All right. I've picked a number. It's three digits.
All right.
Go.
507.
187.
You got it. It was 222.
So I mean, for nine.
That means you get to keep it.
Okay.
You so when your next one comes up, we'll know it in advance.
Oh. So,
and Professor Robot has to think on the fly.
I already got my I made backups. I was ready. Yeah. A Western bacon cheeseburger, which is essentially like a cheeseburger with like usually onion rings on it, some barbecue sauce, and some bacon. Like I think the title belongs to one that. Like a Carl's Jr., but like that burger anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Top of the pops.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now it's on to your number three.
Spoiler alert.
Number three band. I'm going to go with the Slits.
Are they experimental?
Yeah. Well, they're like post-punk. Wait, I mean...
Do they sound like Deftones?
I think any band that's like post-punk can be categorized as experimental, right? Like they do reggae beats and kind of weird...
Now, would it matter when they were doing their music? Like, are they the avant-garde of post-punk, or had it been going on for a few years before they came along and they're just copying somebody else's style?
Experimental reggae?
Like,
well, they were doing, like, reggae beats, and they weren't really a reggae band. They were sort of mixing reggae beats with like kind of, you know, kind of weird post-punk chords and stuff.
Nice.
All right, you can't describe it, it's experimental.
Boom. They were experimenting with music.
I'll take it.
And then,
okay, wait. Dramatic pause. Number three sandwich. You guys ready?
Okay.
Hold on. Shout out to my homeboy, John Gentile, Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Oh.
Boom.
Mic dropped.
Please don't drop the mic.
Number three, Throbbing Gristle.
Is that a sandwich or
it could be. A band? And then also for my sandwich, Throbbing Gristle.
It's a whiter wheat.
And then for my sandwich, number three, I just put a grilled cheese.
Oh, nice. Plain simple grilled cheese. Nice.
Keep it simple, stupid.
When you have toddlers, you eat a lot of grilled cheese.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, tomato soup?
Nope, just grilled cheese. Because tomato cheese. Soup what? Is way too fucking messy with little kids around.
That's
what?
True.
What? You have, here's what you eat when you have toddlers. You have grilled cheese. You have mac and cheese.
Chicken tenders.
Cheese sticks.
The chicken, like chicken tenders.
My kids won't eat those.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, obviously you're not hitting them enough.
All right. So
cartoon
for
my violence.
Number three,
we don't condone hitting real children, only cartoon children.
I'm torn. I want to give some obscure shout outs, but I also want to have collisions with people.
Oh, go with the obscure.
All right.
It's experimental.
All right. We're going for number three, Payne's Gray. They are a German prog metal band that only did one album, and it was a concept album all based on Lovecraftian mythos. And it's amazing. You got them?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. That would be amazing. But no, that album, Cat Off the Coded, makes my mind warp on the inside. And I love any band that can do that.
Cthulhu's comes down from the skies.
Something like
that. Is that Rammstein?
Yeah, totally Rammstein.
It's a little bit more experimental than Death Clock.
Yeah.
All right. And my number three sandwich, that's going to be hot pastrami and Swiss.
Oh, yeah.
Loving mustard that. And banana peppers. Shout out to Marucci's Deli.
Nice.
There you go. All right, I guess that means it's my turn. Number three, I got the Velvet Underground.
Wow.
Yes. Nobody got the Velvet Underground.
Are they experimental?
Yeah, you fucking asshole. You fucking son of a bitch. No, that was mean. I have no idea where that came from. I'm sorry. But my number
Take
three sandwich. My number, I do. I'm sorry.
I've got
warm fuzzies for you. Nothing cold prickly. My number three sandwich though is, I like a nice club sandwich, usually just like turkey and bacon, some avocado. I don't like ham that much, but if there's ham on it, I'll still eat it. But like a good club sandwich is always nice. And it's always nice to know that like at least two animals died
for your meal.
You know,
I'm with you there.
Like the more animals you can fit into a sandwich, the better off.
I have this idea that all the animals that you consume in your lifetime, They are your slaves in the afterlife.
Huh.
So I have like an army of chickens.
Nice. I got some weird zoo going on.
Yeah. So that's why you should eat people.
Oh, okay. Human slaves are the best slaves. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Adam Davis?
Cartoon violence does not condone the opinion, nor do they
only
condone
the afterlife.
Yeah, oh, it's totally different.
Ghost
only
slaves.
All time and eternity.
All ghosts are white, so it's not that bad.
All right, Aaron.
What happened?
Number two.
What would happen if I sliced off a little bit of me and you sliced off a little bit of you and we ate it, like we each ate
each
other?
Each
other
slaves. Oh. And then it's a cooperative.
What if you just ate yourself?
Now, is it all or nothing? Like, you a tiny piece of flesh is all slave, or is it like 0.08% slave? You have to eat a large quantity of somebody for them to be your slave.
At least a third, I'd imagine. You don't. There's no chance that you're going to get to eat like a whole chicken. Usually, like you're going to eat part of the chicken.
Right.
But I still believe.
Is it? You eat enough chickens.
I live religion, please.
Eat enough chicken parts to make some sort of Voltron chicken in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And then you've got a sort of Franken-slave.
Yeah. So eat some alligator.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. I haven't tried alligator yet.
It's
really
snails.
Rubbery.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten snails. I've eaten like mealworms, ants.
So you got a bug on
me. I've done crickets. And grasshoppers. Grass
sandwich is bug sandwich.
Okay,
cricket burger.
Number two band, I'm going to go with Danielson family, or Danielson, however.
Not familiar.
They're like, they're this Christian band who are like...
Is that Ink and a Pee-Pee?
No, they're... So they're like, they're kind of, I think of them more as kind of an avant pop, because they're like really catchy, but it's really weird. They're like this Christian family from like, they started in like the early 90s, and very earnestly Christian, but like music was way too weird for the Christian audience. So the audience that they got was all non-Christian for the most part, and they would tour like dressed as like doctors and nurses, you know, like they would play like... And they would like, they had this earnest belief that they were preaching the gospel of Christ to the world, and they were bringing medicine, and that's why they dressed up. It seemed like really weird and gimmicky, but it was all very serious. And then like eventually, like most of the family kind of grew up and went their own way. But the oldest brother, Daniel, which became Danielson. So he would tour and he would do like solo stuff, or he'd have other bands, like, and he would like wear this like full tree outfit. And he had this whole explanation about, you know, like this whole Christian thing about it, but it was super weird. Yeah.
Theatrical. Like,
yeah, but I mean, it's, their music's really good too.
Okay.
And Sufjan Stevens, he was like a family friend of them. He used to play bass in that band before he went on to be really famous. Man, yeah.
That sounds interesting. But what people really want to know is what your number two sandwich is.
Okay. Tuna melt.
Nice.
Ooh.
I'm surprised that didn't make my list. I love tuna melt.
Fish and cheese.
Never have too much tuna.
So wait, I've never had a tuna melt. How does that work? What do you do?
You just like, you know, you whip up the tuna with like some mayo. Sometimes people put like onions or celery or some shit in that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But fuck all of that. And then you like pretty much, it's like making a grilled cheese with tuna in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could get down with that.
Yeah. Have you guys seen Too Much Tuna? The only one? I suggest that everyone go look up Too Much Tuna on the internet.
Okay.
On Urban Dictionary?
No. Just on the internet.
Okay.
I mean, Urban Dictionary is on the internet, but don't go directly to Urban Dictionary. Right. Just go to Google.
Let yourself get there naturally.
Just go to Web Crawler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a Lycos product?
I think it is, or an Alta Vista. Maybe. Okay. Yeah. Use that, or Yahoo search.
What about Dogpile? Are they still around?
I don't know. Okay. At any rate. What?
Internet humor.
Oh, well.
Go to www.
I love that the French say trade double, which is triple double U.
Yeah.
It's like six U's.
It means two U's. Yeah. Why don't they just say
that's insane.
Just say dub.
Back up. HTTP
colon
forward slash forward slash.
Okay, so my number two band, Einstein Neubutton.
Ooh, nice.
No one else had that one?
No. I mean, I like them.
I mean, there's Jackhammers not... and Setting the Club on Fire and huge pieces of
shit. I want this
metal.
To be a top 10 list. There's so many I want to name, and we still haven't had Collisions.
We haven't had a single one yet. I'm really crazy. Surprised. Okay.
That's really impressive.
Number two, sandwich. The chicken sandwich at Bake Sale Betty's.
Really? Man, I've had the chicken sandwich at Bake Sale Betty's. I actually like it more now that they've changed the bread so it doesn't Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Your roof. But like, I feel like it's overrated. Like, the first time I had one, I didn't understand.
Yeah, you have to wait in one of those epic lines there. It's pretty awful.
Yeah.
But that slaw with the jalapenos in it is real good. And then the actual chicken is real good. I agree, though. I'm not a fan of crunchy bread for sandwiches.
Yeah,
guys, I feel like this show has gotten a little East Bay centric.
Well, all the good food's out here.
Yeah, so deal with it.
Yeah, deal with it. Yeah,
got to go with what you know.
Sorry that Gilroy.
Here comes the train.
I live in
Wait,
Sacramento.
The train going
by. Taking a train break.
Train break. There we go.
All right.
All right.
So my number two, band, I'm going to go obscure again. Let's go with Syzygy. They're a Japanese...
You just made that up.
No, they're a Japanese band. A woman plays, I think, a 48 or 52 tone microtonal organ. So a lot of really subtle melodies. slowly changing frequencies. My number two sandwich, little known fact, my first official job was making sandwiches at Togo's. And I absolutely loved, I believe it's the number 26.
Ah, the good old 26.
It's ham and turkey and salami with cheese. Now
I was going to say, hey, just say 26 and then
the number 26.
Back away from the mic.
Yeah, edit that out.
It's got meat.
Sure. Number 26.
Yeah.
But I put a scoop of avocado on it.
Oh.
Number 26
just,
with
just
avocado.
Just one scoop because two is too much. Too. I'll bleep everything. This whole podcast is going to be one long bleep. What's your favorite sandwich? Beep! With sauce.
With sauce. All right. Is it my turn?
Yes. Yeah.
Can I go?
Do it.
Can I go?
I wish you
Can
would.
Can I go? All right. My number two is Captain Beefheart.
All right. Nice. He's experimental.
Yeah, definitely an experimental band. It's like probably my introduction to experimental like music like was Captain Beefheart. Like, I remember, because I just, you know, went searching for music when I was younger and learning about them and then listening to them and being like, oh, wow, you can do some really weird shit with music. And so, yeah, Captain Beefheart makes my number two. And my number two sandwich, I really, really like a nice pulled pork barbecue sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tasty. It is freaking delicious.
What's your favorite kind of barbecue? You like it vinegary or sweet?
I like it a little sweet and spicy. Like, that's the way to go for me. If you really want to make a pulled pork sandwich that Professor Robot approves of.
Which we all do.
Yeah, Stubbs barbecue sauce, really good. I like that a lot. I use that a lot when I'm making my own stuff.
Let me ask you a Beefheart question. What's your feeling? Some Captain Beefheart fanatics feel that Frank Zappa ruined Captain Beefheart. Do you feel like when Zappa started producing his work that it was for the good or for the detriment?
I mean, like, you know, I didn't want to give too much away, but like Frank Zappa is like my entryway to Beefheart in a lot of ways, and like reading about the history of Zappa and having Beefheart come up was how I discovered them. So, I would never be like, oh, Zappa fucked this up,
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. That's just like me personally because of my affectations towards Zappa to begin with.
But do you like the earlier stuff better? Or do you like when he goes to Trout Mask Replica?
I think Trout Mask Replica was like the first album I ever heard by them. So, like that. You know, probably the fact that that's like the first thing I heard
mm-hmm.
also affected like my bias towards it. But I don't know. I never really chronologically listened to their music, but I'm not opposed to doing that. I could I could go and listen to it all.
Do it.
And do some research and get back to you on the next podcast.
Wait, just do it right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Put up pause.
Pause this.
Okay,
all right, I'm back. I just listened to every Captain Beefheart album ever, and I gotta say, I've decided I don't like Captain Beefheart, and and I've replaced them. I've replaced them now on my list with Reggie Watts.
Nice style points.
There we go. All right, so my number two is Reggie Watts, and I like barbecue pulled pork sandwiches.
Okay, so number one, experimental band, Residents.
Nice.
I have the same one for number one.
Oh, bum, bum, bum. Battle.
Bum, bum,
Prophet.
Bum.
All right. Pick a number for him.
I could have told you that was going to happen.
I'm thinking of a four-digit number.
1, 2, 3, 4.
8, 4, 4, 4.
11:37. Adam was closest.
Oh, man.
You get to keep the Residents. And he's going to come up with another experimental band.
Okay, I'm going to pick one that I bet you're going to pick on purpose. I'm going to go with Mothers of Invention / Frank Zappa.
Oh, yeah. Frank Zappa is my number one.
Bum, bum,
boom.
Bum.
All right, Adam, now you get to pick one.
Could have told you that was going to happen. I'm picking a two-digit number. Go.
69.
84.
You're closer. It was.
Ooh, yeah.
88.
Nice.
And you already
eight.
Nothing but eights.
And you spent that Reggie Watts already, so good luck.
Bum, bum.
His new number one, Captain Beefheart.
going to make you feel really, 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 really mean and
oh,
sad.
Oh, wait. I totally forgot. I got to do a sandwich.
Yeah, okay. Number one sandwich.
Okay, give me... Wait. Can I get a train intro, please?
That was Santa.
Okay. Santa. Wait. What I would like is a Santa train intro, please. And I'll Santa give you my...
Is that the Polar Express?
Number one sandwich.
Santa's bringing in the list on his Christmas train. In
all
July.
Aboard the Christmas train. You don't need a ticket.
Okay.
In July.
Number one sandwich. Aaron Carnes. It's top choice.
Can we have the envelope?
Falafel sandwich.
Mind blown.
Such variety and diversity in this
room.
There's
so many sandwiches and so many experimental bands. Yeah. I mean, there's the Deftones.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I don't like the Deftones. But
no, it's too late.
I want to get that out there.
What? Why would you not like the Deftones? Come on.
They've got that song, you know.
Bong, bong. I love that. That one song.
I think the only Deftones song I know is the one on the Depeche Mode tribute album.
I always felt like Deftones were a band that people would say they were into in the 90s, but had probably never listened to.
I think, unfortunately, they did listen to them.
Well, you think people like think it's a cool badge to like the Deftones?
In the 90s, I think they thought it was.
I think Deftones was like...
have become... I used to say that like early 90s house music was my like guilty listening pleasure. It's totally the Deftones. I love the Deftones. First time I saw the Deftones was in 1993, and it was the local support band drew in like 200 or 300 people, and then they all bailed as soon as they were done, and the Deftones played to like 20 people.
Yeah, my band was opening. Yeah, great.
Yeah, you played that show.
Yeah, that was one of the first shows that my band Flat Planet played, and
Outperformed the Deftones.
All I remember of Deftones is them like being on stage between songs and like going like, heroin is so cool or something like that. That's all I remember.
Yeah, I remember at the end of their set, Chino, their singer, just like was like, I'm gonna go get my fix and smash the microphone down onto the stage. And then he went and asked my friend Jay if he could borrow his skateboard and then broke his skateboard.
And then Adam was like, oh, swoon.
Well, that's an experimental band, if I've ever heard of one. Yeah.
Right?
Number five.
Okay, so my number one experimental band was The Residents.
Which he won fair and square.
Thank you. Some of those guys, I think, live in Alameda now.
They're residents of Alameda?
They are residents of Alameda, and I'm like really torn because I like want to know who they are and be their friends, but I also want them to remain anonymous. I don't know. Fuck. And also with, raise your hand if you listen to this is good radio. Raise your hand if you listen to the Residents.
Wow, there's a lot of hands.
Just me? I'm the only one who listens to the
Residents. I listen to Residents, yeah.
But so Aaron, we'll just have a conversation. Just
yeah.
This will be an A-B conversation. Y'all cartoon violence can see your way out. Do you prefer the earlier Residents work or the more current Residents work?
Do you like the stuff that they did before Frank Zappa or after Frank Zappa?
Do you think Frank Zappa
my,
the Residents?
My favorite Residents stuff is like late 70s. So not like their very early stuff, but like we're talking like Duck Stab, Commercial Album. Those are my favorites. Mm-hmm. With their later stuff, I like, but it's, I don't know. It's not
too MIDI.
Yeah, it's too MIDI, and then, like, for some reason, the singer has, like, just a grovelly voice at that point. I like when it was, like, the higher-pitched, less Claypool-y kind of voice, you know? Mm. You too?
Yeah, I'm in that same.
I mean, what's your favorite Residents album?
Eskimo.
Yeah, Eskimo's good, but I like the pop element of, like, Duck Stab and Commercial.
If I had to pick a second album, it would be the Commercial album.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, mainly just because every song's a minute.
Yeah.
It's so fucking genius. Like, you're going to get in and out, like, so fast, and it's going to be weird for an entire minute.
Yeah.
And you're going to come out the other end of it going, wow, that was great. That was a good use of my minute.
I love that they made them exactly minutes, so some of them end very abruptly at a minute, just so that they end exactly at a minute.
Totally.
Okay, Stop. And my number one sandwich.
Okay, everyone quiet.
What is...
Number one Adam sandwich Davis. By Adam Davis.
Super serious. Like, serious, like a heart attack. Peanut butter and jelly. Anybody else?
Respect.
No.
Dude, I seriously, every time I eat a peanut butter sandwich, I feel like I'm setting up a kit to, like, do heroin. Like, I feel like I feel like peanut butter and jelly will be my demise. Like, I love peanut butter and jelly. Like, every day that goes by where I don't eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I pat myself on the back because I can't just eat one.
Just
make I'll be like, that was a good sandwich. I'm going to eat another one. And before I know it, I've eaten the entire loaf of bread. And the whole jar of peanut butter and the whole jar of jelly.
There goes your summer beach bod.
Out
the window.
When I was like in high school, my dad would like make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches like at night, like when it's like 9 or 10 o'clock and he's like watching TV, he'd go like make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I was like, at that age, I was like, why is he eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for his late night snack? That's the worst idea ever. Mm-hmm. But then I eventually discovered the beauty of a late night peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, and I'll stack two on a plate and just like, I'll have eaten one before I even get back to the couch. And then I eat the other one. And I was like, that was good. And then I have to sit there and like not go eat another one. And then I'm like, all of a sudden I'm in the kitchen making another one. This is good.
The trick is to just get a glass of milk with it and drink the glass of milk right after you eat the sandwich.
Still, that just makes it worse.
The first step is to admit you have a problem.
It really is. I mean, I feel like I should get myself like a coin that like says like, oh, I made it one day. Oh, I made it a week.
One of those chocolate coins.
And then peel and eat it. The coin.
Yeah.
Or just let it melt in my pocket.
All right. Crust, of course, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't cut the crust off.
Trim that shit.
Oh, I don't cut it. No.
Yeah. Good. Crust is part of life.
Let's keep it pure as I can.
Yeah.
Let's keep it from the source, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my number one experimental band, I'm going with The Books.
Yeah,
okay. In the same vein of Negative Land, but musically, I think, more interesting. Nick Zamuto's doing cool stuff with records these days, which totally. I respect. My number one sandwich.
Don't worry, that's just my fridge, everyone.
Oh, I love your fridge.
We're not being attacked by anything.
It's playing the didge.
It's anything can happen on this podcast. That's what's so exciting. My fridge.
What? Say what?
That's right. What's your number one sandwich?
My number one sandwich. Keeping it East Bay centric. Pleasant Hill, California. Andy's Diner. Hot Sicilian sandwich. Oh, yeah. Ham, salami, pepperoni, provolone, and a meat tomato sauce all on grilled sourdough with right. extra sauce on the side.
Bravo. Okay.
Wait, hold on. All right. So, Adam, are these things that you're finding here at Blake's house, or did you bring these specifically to make sound effects?
We've talked about this a lot of times, Aaron. Like, whenever we've talked about being on the radio,
you gotta do like, I wacky bring morning radio.
And that's like the one time where I've actually wanted to do sketches. Like, I wanted to go into, like, a radio show and have them be like, hey, so we were here with the Zeke and the Dingo. We were talking into Arby's. Yeah, so hey, guys. And then I just want like, to ask us a question and then for us to like not answer the question, but just perform a 15-minute sketch with all sorts of Foley. And just like...
like, it's thundering outside.
So this is a sneak peek of episode 5. But
we're going to bring Adam back as our Foley artist.
Yeah.
Nice.
I guess that just leaves me.
That is. You can close the show.
Best for last. Well, I was going to go with Frank Zappa, but even though Aaron stole my number one, I guess Snar Boots could be my favorite experimental band.
Aww. Sweet.
Yeah, they're all right, I guess. Whatever. But what's really important is my number one sandwich.
Which is?
The Luther, which is a burger with just shit piled on it, like cheese, extra patties, bacon, probably put some fries up in that shit, and then it is all sandwiched between a Krispy Kreme donuts.
Ooh.
So it's like a Krispy Kreme burger. That's right.
And nice.
That's one little angel.
This tone means we've come to the end of this segment in the podcast.
That's right.
I would like to throw out an honorary shout out to Hard Taco, which in my mind is both an experimental band and a sandwich.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Fake.
So, do you have your phone handy?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. So, another segment that Break the City did was where they would do like a death toll in Oakland. Is that something you think you can access that information?
Oh, let's see.
Yeah. So Break the City, they would see what the murder rate, or was it death or murder rate?
Homicide.
Homicide rate was at that particular time.
Anybody want to guess how many homicides we've had so far in Oakland in 2000?
This year? I think they're down, so I'm going to go with like 32. Come on, Price is Right
rules. Let's, well,
you're going to go 33, asshole.
Okay, I'm going to say 46.
Okay. It's going to take me a second. Sorry.
All right. Adam's looking that up. Narvitz, guys, where can people find you on the internet?
What's it called?
MySpace.com/Narvitz. Okay, I found it. 38.
Oh. I got it. Yeah. Price is Right for the win. All right.
You're an asshole.
Yeah. I didn't shoot those people.
Man, you just celebrated over the deaths of 38 people. What a dick.
I celebrated that it wasn't Aaron's guess. It could have been worse.
It could have been worse. That's very true.
We have a Twitter and an Instagram that's Narboots, but instead of O's, it's zeros. We have a website that is weareallnarboots.com that never gets updated. We have a MySpace, which I don't think is functioning anymore, but it was myspace.com/NarbootsTacoBravo.
Oh, Taco Bravo.
Taco Bravo. Guys, we should...
We're also on Facebook, too. I don't think he said Facebook.
Oh, and the Facebook. We're on the Facebook. Just Facebook/NarBoots.
Man, we should do a Taco Bravo split 7-inch. EP, like just record at Taco Bravo.
So you guys, Bob and Super Soul Brothers.
So you guys, how much like Taco Bravo have you guys done? Like, and you guys were just introduced
enough to regret it.
You guys were like what? Recently introduced to it? I take it
after.
I think it was you. I think you guys introduced us to Taco Bravo. You were our gateway.
Carnes, how long have you been eating Taco Bravo for?
Since high school. I think I probably first time I went was in high school, and I'm 39 now, so you do the math.
You've been eating it way longer.
I was 16 the first time that the Flat Planet guys took me to Taco Bravo.
Yeah, basically.
So I think that means I've been going for 22 years.
Yeah.
Basically, what, like 3 or 4 times after various South Bay shows, we'd go to the Bascom Bravo, and then we closed out the Snell Bravo with the Super Snow Bravo. Soul Brothers, and the kitchen was consumed. It was a magnificent feast.
That was pretty disgusting what that guy ate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to, when we were in Gilroy, we used to just like drive up to Bravo that would be the only reason we would go to San Jose.
Just to
get Taco Bravo. We'd go eat Taco Bravo and then go home. Maybe go to Tower Records too. Cause that used to be open. It was up until midnight. And then go home.
The one in San Jose.
There was one right next to where Taco Bravo is.
Oh,
back
really?
In the day.
Yeah, it went Taco Bravo, Wiener Schnitzel.
That
would have
been the best thing ever.
That's nice.
I totally miss Tower Records.
Taco Bravo, Wiener Schnitzel, Vacant Lot. Pet Food Store.
I completely missed Tower Records.
Tell us about Tower Records.
There used to be one in Concord, and I would go there all the time, and it was the same deal. It was open until midnight, so I would like just be wanting to like get out of the house late at night, and I loved records, and so I would like window shop there a lot and figure out like what I wanted to buy, and then you know that I feel like it used to be like way easier to get excited about albums because you actually had to like wait for something. There wasn't as much instant gratification like with the internet and stuff.
Shout out to Curious Quail, instant gratification. What?
Oh, there you go.
Shout out to Sacramento for Tower Records.
There we go.
Yeah.
Have you seen the document? Is the documentary out yet? The one Colin Hanks is doing?
They did a screening in Sacramento, which I missed, but no, I haven't seen it yet.
I was surprised to see Tower Records in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
There's one.
They had a big one there.
Yeah, near Shibuya.
Yep. I've been there.
Does anyone know why Colin Hanks, of all people, decided to make a documentary about Tower Records? Does he have any link to it?
Grew up with it and has the means to do a documentary, so why not?
Yeah, and speaking of Curious Quail, they're actually going to be our next guest, probably.
Oh, Fingers crossed.
Yeah, they'll be joining us for our next podcast. And then I guess we already did your shameless plugs already, right? For the internet and all that. So I guess it's time, really quick, for the Cartoon Violence shameless plugs.
So shameless.
Like, follow me on Twitter, @ProfRobot.
And follow me at Doc Octave or us at Cartoon Violins.
Like violins, the instrument.
So Cartoon Violins was already taken?
Yeah.
That sucks.
What is the user of that Twitter? Like is it just someone's random handle? Or?
I think it used to be something that was just somebody swatted. Liked Cartoon Violins, and they maybe posted a couple times. And then years went by, and our arch rivals and eternal nemesis, the Welsh two-tone ska band Cartoon Violins, have since snatched up that handle on Twitter.
Mm. Oh, so there's a ska Cartoon Violins?
Yeah, we both released our first album the exact same month.
So you guys are
two different continents.
You guys are my second favorite Cartoon Violins.
Oh, thanks.
Because ska.
Because ska.
And then...
feel well, so betrayed.
If you want to hear some music,
you're my fourth favorite Narboots.
Man, am I your second favorite?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
We're not the first Narboots either. Huh. We're just the best.
Do tell.
We're just the best Narboots.
All right.
And also the same thing. The last person, somebody has at Narboots that Twitter handle, and their last tweet was just, "It takes me forever to finish a painting." So glad you had a Twitter, dude. I constantly, like, every couple months will, like, just hurl abuse at that Twitter handle. Just be like, fuck you, give me the fucking password to this Twitter.
It's a tough life.
While I'm watching my kids.
And you can also go to cartoonviolence.com.
Cartoonviolencemusic.com. Because cartoonviolence.com, again, is owned by some jerkwad. Who isn't us. But we also, cartoonviolins.bandcamp.com. We just put up an EP of our show at the Stork Club. You can listen to some of our live stuff.
Yeah, that's about it.
Because they're making weird hand signs at each other.
It's doing the safety dance. That's what we do. We're safety dancers. But that's it. That's it. That's the podcast. We're done.
Thanks for having a podcast Narboots. With Narboots.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Educational.
And we'll see you next month. All right, my neighbors are gonna kill me.
Sorry.
나보츠 Dance Party 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 나보츠 Dance Party. Narboots. 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 Dance Party. Narboots 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 Dance Party.
Nutboards, dance party.